You're watching Be The People. I'm Rishika Barua. Global pharma giant AstraZeneca has admitted that its COVID-19 vaccine that was developed by researchers from the Oxford University, manufactured here by the Serum Institute of India, can in fact cause a rare side effect of blood clotting and low platelet count. AstraZeneca said this in a statement responding to a class action lawsuit in the UK which claims that the vaccine has caused deaths and severe injuries in at least 51 cases that are now seeking damages to the tune of £100 million. AstraZeneca has in fact admitted that in very rare cases, Covishield, which is what the vaccine was called here in India, can cause rare side effect called TTS, which can essentially cause blood clots and a low platelet count. We have experts on the show who will help us understand this better. In fact, now a father of a diseased girl in India has also filed a lawsuit against the Serum Institute of India following AstraZeneca's rare side effect admission in the UK court. He'll also be joining us on the show. But the concern over the rare blood clots is not in fact new. Following reports of rare blood clotting events in 2021, Covishield was actually banned in many countries across the EU and even in neighbouring Thailand. But the WHO has constantly said that the benefits of the vaccine far outweigh the risks that are associated with it. In June 2022, WHO took cognizance of the very rare side effect reactions and still said that the vaccine is safe and effective in protecting against serious risk of COVID-19. Further, a Lancet study in 2022 also recorded per million cases of TTS, again going to show that this is something that was documented. The Lancet study also noted a geographical variation, saying that the highest cases are in Nordic countries and the lowest are in Asian countries. But remember, close to 175 crore doses of the vaccine were given in India alone. Understandably, this class action lawsuit and this admission by AstraZeneca has raised questions about the safety of the Covishield vaccine that majority of us have taken here in India. Dare I say, there's also a sense of panic. There's a sense of doubt, and there are many questions that we all have which we hope to answer by the end of the show today. Joining me on We the People, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, former chief scientist of the World Health Organization, Dr. Shahid Jameel, senior virologist, fellow Green Templeton College, Oxford, Dr. Randeep Guleria, former director of the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, and Dr. Hemant Thakkar. He was a member of the Maharashtra COVID Task Force, is a senior doctor associated with Jaslok, Breach, Candy and Reliance Hospitals in Mumbai. We also have Venu Gopalan Govindan. He is a bereaved father who lost his daughter due to what is believed to be a side effect of the vaccine, is also now a petitioner against the Serum Institute of India. But I want to begin by asking Dr. Soumya Swaminathan a couple of straight questions on the show. I spoke with her earlier. Dr. Swaminathan, thanks very much for speaking with us. AstraZeneca has now admitted to a rare side effect of the vaccine that could potentially be fatal. Should those of us, very simply put, those of us who've taken this vaccine 2 years ago, should we be worried?
The simple answer to your question is no. There is no need for those who've taken the vaccine in the past to be worried. This particular side effect of the AstraZeneca vaccine or the Chadox vaccine has been known since March of 2021, very soon after the vaccine was deployed in large numbers across the world. And there have been periodic updates on this complication. It's a very rare complication. And it usually occurs in the first 3 to 4 weeks after vaccination, not afterwards. So right now, for people who've taken their vaccines like maybe 1, 2, 3 years ago, there's absolutely no need to worry.
In 2021, many EU countries had suspended the use of AstraZeneca's vaccine due to the same kind of a concern. The WHO at that time had also said that the benefits do outweigh the risks. Do you still believe that?
So in 2021, soon after the vaccine was deployed, within 3 months, you know, there were reports of what is called TTS, that is thrombocytopenia, low platelet count with thrombosis. And it usually presented with either a clot in the brain or a clot in the abdomen. So severe headache as a symptom or severe abdominal pain. It was observed in about 1 in 250,000 people or 4 in a million people who received the vaccine, first dose of the vaccine in the UK. From some EU countries, it was being reported at 1 in 100,000. And it seemed to be more common in younger people rather than in people over the age of 40. Now, based on this information, again, there were a few European countries that decided that they would rather use mRNA vaccines because they had access to a variety of vaccines. So they stopped using this AstraZeneca, they switched to mRNA. But in many other parts of the world, the regulatory agencies continued to use AstraZeneca, and WHO continued to say that the benefit risk profile was still very favorable. There was information put out for how to recognize these symptoms. So doctors were being informed about these symptoms, though very rare. In case anybody had any of these symptoms after vaccination, they were being told what investigations to do and what treatment to give and what not to give, so that people, you know, could be saved. Now, I should also add here that COVID-19 infection itself also increases the risk of thromboembolism. And in fact, the risk of getting these thrombotic episodes or coagulation disorders or blood clots in common language is much, much higher after a natural COVID infection, especially if you've had severe COVID, than it is after a vaccine. So a lot of people get fixated on the side effects of the vaccine when actually it is a COVID infection that has increased the risk for heart attacks, for stroke, you know, for diabetes and a lot of other health outcomes.
The final question here now is, can this vaccine still be given to people if the need arises, or given what AstraZeneca has admitted in court, does this vaccine need to be pulled off?
I think we have to separate these two issues. The lawsuit is about certain individuals, as I said, very unfortunate that they actually had this side effect. And it's a small group of individuals who filed a lawsuit claiming compensation because they had very severe disease disability because of the vaccine. Of course, that has to be proven. In fact, if they did suffer from the adverse effects of the vaccine, then they're probably entitled to some compensation that the courts will decide. In fact, the WHO, when we set up COVAX to provide vaccines to the developing world, we had actually taken out a global no-fault compensation insurance policy so that any individual who suffered from serious adverse effects of the vaccine, any of the vaccines that were being supplied through COVAX, would be given compensation. So the information is not new. As I said, we've known since March of 2021 about this side effect. Nothing has changed in terms of the benefit risk profile of the vaccine. Of course, there are not too many vaccination campaigns going on right now in the world, but I don't think, and WHO has not indicated, that there is any reason for a withdrawal or a change in the recommendation of this vaccine.
All right. So some of those questions, I think, are very reassuring. Some of those answers have been very reassuring. Thanks for joining us once again. Let me take this now to panel. We also have a young audience with us here in the studios. Many of them have actually taken the Covishield vaccine and therefore have questions. But Dr. Shahid Jameel, can I come to you first? Similar to what I'd asked Dr. Swaminathan as well, given what we have just seen, can we then say that mRNA vaccines perhaps were safer?
I don't think there is any evidence to say whether one vaccine is safer than the other. But there is very clear evidence that all vaccines used during COVID, during the pandemic, are safe, and their benefits far outweigh the risks. We have to understand that there is nothing that is 100% effective or 100% safe. We have to weigh benefits against risks. Remember, we were in a pandemic situation, and you cannot test a vaccine with a 1 in 100,000 risk in any clinical trial. Clinical trials were done mainly with about 30,000 people in phase 3. Half of them getting the vaccine and half of them getting a placebo. So in a 15,000 population, how can you assess a 1 in 100,000 risk? It's impossible. So, and also the other thing to understand is that whatever risk that AstraZeneca has sort of admitted to is within the first 42 days of vaccination. Hmm. We are far, far away from it, you know. in our vaccination program. So do consider these things. And may I also add that there are also studies now that have shown that globally, all vaccines, all COVID vaccines have protected about 14 to 20 million people from death. In India, a study from Stanford University shows that India's vaccination program protected about 3.6 million people from death during the pandemic. So benefits far outweigh the risks.
Okay. All right. So we've gotten an international perspective into this. And before I take this to Dr. Guleria and to Dr. Thakkar, I do want to bring in Mr. Govindan, who's with us. I want to first and foremost thank you, sir, for being with us on the show. I understand that this is difficult for you. You've been very vocal, though, about what happened with your daughter. I assume you have questions as well. You're now taking this to court against Serum Institute of India. What happened with you, sir? Could you care to elaborate?
So thank you very much, first, ma'am, for giving this platform, which is sorely lacking for not just me, but many, many parents of this country. As you may know, 19 people have died and acknowledged by the government as died from vaccine, and 970 deaths are there in an AFI database of just 2,700 in all. That's all the AFI data could gather in the whole country of, in our whole 1.4 billion people. And so many vaccinations, they could just gather 2,700, of which one-third is death. So you can imagine the amount of miscalculation and underrepresentation that the AFI database has. Even that has 19 deaths. Now, right. Coming to the points, which, allow me a couple of minutes, ma'am.
Yes.
See, my daughter took the jab on the 8th of June. She actually started her internship with Goldman Sachs on 1st of June, and 8th of June, this wretched decision to take the vaccination was taken, and she took the jab. And on the 10th day, she fell seriously ill on the 18th, and she couldn't speak, swallow, she couldn't walk, and high fever. And the neighborhood hospital, and first we suspected COVID, we did RT-PCR, it came negative. We got her checked and admitted in a neighborhood hospital, which kind of checked for throat infection and viral fever and whatnot. They sent for bacterial culture and so on. I will cut the short, long story short. She was then, we admitted her in a tertiary care hospital linked to a medical college. And after 4 weeks, she died on 10th of July. We couldn't save her. The diagnosis that it was MIS, multisystem inflammatory syndrome, came very late in the process because none of the doctors had any clue about the possible AEFI or AESI. And I won't blame them, because some of your panelists sitting here, they had said some time back it's 110% safe, actually. And the experts of this country had misguided everybody. So, I mean, they were kind of, nobody really suspected vaccines. So anyway, coming to the point, some of the things Mr. Jamil just now said, how can you find out the 1 in million chance of death in 1 in 30,000 trial? Very valid question. Then why do you roll it out? Because in a country, if 1 in a million death happens in a country of 1.4 billion people, how many people can die, number one? Number two, the mortality ratio is basically, IFR is for the age group under 30, under 40. Okay. It's like 0.001%, which is nobody died before vaccination in that age group. Nobody died. I challenge this panel to cite one case who died before vaccination in the age group of my daughter. Nobody died.
Okay.
And they went ahead and this, and Dr. Randeep Guleria, with whom I'm sharing the platform today, told that for when the vaccination for children was introduced, he himself said that how can we be sure of whether any side effects will happen? We'll have to let it go and see. We are all guinea pigs. Our children were guinea pigs. That's what happened in this country. It was rolled out like that. And the often repeated statement, the benefits outweigh risks. This is the biggest lie that was perpetrated in the whole of vaccination, for the simple reason, A, what is the benefit? And C, B, what is the risk?
Okay.
The benefits they are saying is like it protects you from COVID and death. But does it protect?
Did Mr. Govindan,
how many vaccinated people had death? And secondly, what is the risk? The risk is very high, as AstraZeneca itself admitted.
I think as far as that analysis is concerned, Dr. Swaminathan has also explained quite a bit, and I want to take it to the experts. Like I said, I really do appreciate you joining us here and sharing your story. Dr. Guleria, if I can come to you first, you've heard what Mr. Govindan has had to say.
I didn't hear Soumya ma'am.
Okay,
you've heard
what Mr. Govindan has had to say. Dr. Guleria, I want to just ask you, how prepared were doctors here in India to be able to understand or deal with or mitigate the potential adverse side effects that came with the vaccine? Did we at that point in time have enough information as far as these rare side effects are concerned?
I don't think we had information as far as these rare side effects were concerned, but like you rightly said, that when the AstraZeneca vaccine came into Europe, there were increasing incidence of clot formation, and because of that, the vaccine was halted for a few weeks. As a matter of fact, there was a mixture of vaccines given because this vaccine was halted and another vaccine was given, the mRNA vaccine was given as a booster shot.
Yes.
Because there was, this vaccine was looked at critically by these experts there to see whether the risk was high of the blood clotting happening. And that's why for a number of weeks, the vaccine was not given in Europe. It's unfortunate about what we just heard. And I think this is something that we are always worried about when we have a new vaccine, that do we know the side effects which are rare and will that have a major impact on someone? Because we could say that this is one in a million, but that one person who is in that million, for him, the whole life changes. So it's something which is unfortunate. But this is not new. Even if we look back into history, vaccines always have been associated with some side effects which are rare, but have been accepted that this is something that we need to really look at in the broader picture. Even I remember, if you look at literature, when the influenza vaccine first came in and it was introduced in the late 70s, there was the whole issue of Guillain-Barré syndrome, a flaccid paralysis, which was linked to the vaccine. And there was a lot of vaccine hesitancy in that point in time. A few years ago, from the northern European countries, there was a whole issue of the influenza vaccine causing what was known as narcolepsy. And there was again a lot of data being looked at that whether it can cause these side effects. So coming back to COVID-19, again, we were not really sure of the rare side effects, as has already been mentioned. But at that point in time, when you have a pandemic, when you have so many people who are suffering, and when we were going through what was known as the Delta wave, I think the issue was that based on whatever data we had at that point in time, it was that the vaccine should be given to everyone.
Yes.
Yes, whether it would be useful for the older age group, for the younger age group, is something that one can have a discussion on. But I think, as has already been mentioned, it was really indicated when we were going through a pandemic.
Right. Dr. Thakkar, I want to ask you, Mr. Govindan, I know you want to come and just allow me a moment and let me ask Dr. Thakkar a question, because I really hope that this show, you know, seeks to actually get to the bottom of what it is that we're dealing with, and hopefully people get some answers by the end of it. Dr. Thakkar, how difficult was it at that point in time, or still is, to be able to actually differentiate between what was happening as a result of a vaccine-induced complication or a COVID-induced complication or long COVID? Because, you know, I mean, blood clots is also something that was believed to have been something that intensified as a result of the COVID-19 infection. So can we at this juncture really be able to understand what happened as a result of vaccine or what happened as a result of COVID?
So at the outset, while I sympathize strongly with Mr. Govindan, I now will also talk about the science, that COVID was a brand new virgin virus which we knew nothing about. And we were learning on our feet. As you rightly pointed out, COVID itself is a thrombogenic clot-inducing virus. Now, if COVID virus was new, its vaccine was newer. And the authorization of this vaccine was emergency authorization, where WHO, the government, and the powers that be thought it wise to use it in the general population because the risk-reward ratio was skewed in favor of reward. Now, at that time, when a patient came to us, you know, initially we treated patients who were not vaccinated. So at that time when patients came to us, we attributed everything to the virus prima facie.
Yes.
But if a patient comes to you within 6 weeks of vaccination, remember, as Dr. Jameel rightly pointed out, this thrombocyte reaction occurs within 4 to 6 weeks of vaccination. So all of you who have been vaccinated and not suffered from this thrombocyte issue, you can rest assured you never will, because that reaction is over with. And right. The chances of coming.
So there is no
there.
Need for any kind of panic today. That's what yes. you're trying to say.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Govindan, you have a question?
Actually. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I do have a question. Actually, both the gentlemen just now, rather all the three gentlemen right now, experts in the panel, they all said, we didn't know much about the virus. We didn't know much about the risks when it was launched, which is in fact a fact. But why did they recommend to the government to roll this out across the board to all the age groups when they knew very little about these vaccines? And why was it advertised as safe and effective and thrust on everybody through coercion? Without certificate, you can't travel there. Without certificate, okay. you can't do this. And all the kind of stuff. And there are, I mean, in okay. our court rejoinder, yeah. we have a whole chapter on the coercive measures right. done by this government. So why was, I'll just take
I don't
30
have,
seconds.
You know, your question is valid, but I don't have a representative of the government to be able to answer as to why the vaccine was made mandatory.
Are the ones who advertise. Terms, these experts are the ones who advertise, I mean, recommended the measures to the government and kind of represented okay. or rather the... kind of made these measures to roll out. They were in positions of power and advertise. I mean, recommendation,
so
recommended.
I completely roles. Respect your point of view. Dr. Guleria, would you like to answer that? You know, vaccines yes. were made compulsory. We were all told that this is what is going to actually go ahead and save our life. And it did save a million, you know, it did
it
save
didn't.
Millions
it didn't.
Of lives
that's
as well.
But that's again a mathematical model.
You want to
you
answer
have,
that?
Actually, you look at Africa. No, I will take another 30
okay.
seconds, ma'am.
Mr. Govindan, I don't.
Africa,
I appreciate
Africa,
all of your questions and concerns, but I have to give viewers answers. So, Dr. Guleria, do you want to quickly answer that?
Answer is
what
my
was
daughter.
The information
is,
that was available to us
this
at that point in time?
This is the answer. She
so based on the information that was available to us at that point in time, and the vaccine was going to be something that would save lives. That's why healthcare workers were the first group that came out and took the vaccine, because of the fact that we needed to have the healthcare workers vaccinated and they could be therefore be able to do their duties. So I think it was something that all of us did, knowing that there is a risk-benefit analysis that has to
yes.
be taken. Risk was taken by all healthcare workers who knew the science behind the vaccine
okay.
and
okay.
came forward and took it because of the fact that it was saving lives and it was something that was well. You had to take a chance. That is a chance you take with even any other medication that you take, that you can have an anaphylactic reaction
yes.
with any medication that you take. So side effects with all drugs and vaccines are known,
okay.
but they are something which are rare and therefore are acceptable when it comes to looking at it in the context of the pandemic.
Right. Dr. Shai Jameel, you know, I really appreciate that all of you doctors have alleviated concerns in terms of, you know, assuring people now that, you know, that risk stage per se has passed. But even at that time in the UK, the vaccine was taken off. It was banned. You know, a different vaccine was given. So there were concerns about this particular issue that were very, very rife even then. So it's not to say we didn't have the information then.
Well, the information that's available, so-called information available today,
why did India
was also available 3 years ago on the WHO website. This is not new information.
Right.
As far as UK is concerned, UK restricted the use of AstraZeneca vaccine in the young population.
Hmm.
So it's not right to say that UK banned that vaccine.
Hmm.
And if you go back and look at the risk-benefit analysis which has been done post-facto, I think that was the right decision.
Yes.
Because in a very low-risk young population, the benefit from the vaccine is not as much as benefit in a high-risk older population. So yes, risk-benefit was taken into account, I believe, at
yes.
that time also. May I also elaborate one point on this risk-benefit? you know, the oral polio vaccine, which is a hugely successful vaccine, also causes vaccine-induced paralytic polio in one out of 2.7 million children.
Yes.
Now, for that one unlucky child, it's very bad. But for public health, it is very good.
Yes.
And this is a point that needs to be emphasized.
Yes.
As far as risk benefit is also concerned, may I just take one more minute? The risk of dying in a road accident is about 17.5 per 100,000. The risk of dying from vaccine-induced TTS is about 1 in 100,000.
Well, I have to interrupt because we're completely out of time. Mr. Govindan, I'm sorry. I wish I had more time on the show. I really do apologize.
I'm sorry. I was not given a fair. It was just an advertisement for just saying once more that benefits outweigh risk. I will not be a party to that.
You put your point forth. You're taking this forward legally as well. We've heard your story and we really appreciate the fact that you joined us on the show. I'm afraid I'm completely out of time. I really hope that this broadcast has been able to answer some of those questions that have been raised after what AstraZeneca has admitted in a UK court. I really hope some of those questions have been answered. Afraid that's all the time we have. Good night and thanks for watching.